Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, growing up in one haunted house, then moving to another, and then moving to another.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey, if you have a real ghost story, we'd like to hear it. Call it in at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show, along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts where you can try it 3 days free, or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon's here today.
I am here.
Question. The other day, I sent you a piece of audio. Did you ever listen to that?
I did. I did listen to it. Now, go ahead and explain to everybody what was on it.
So I'll explain to everybody. So what it was I was interviewing this woman from the Nevada State Prison. And this is a prison that opened, late 1800s, closed, I can't remember the years. I think it was in the 2000s, though. And it's haunted. So I talked to this woman, Susan, and she's had all kinds of encounters and weird things have happened, just one after another. But and this seems to happen to me quite a bit when I'm editing things. In fact, someone just messaged me today that I don't know if it was a show with you and me in it, but it's one of our shows. There's some voices at the end that I'm going to go back and listen to.
But, oh, really?
But frequently I hear weird things when I'm editing the shows. Because I like to clean them up a little bit, you know, if I start sneezing or something like that. Nobody needs to listen to all that crap. But so this one I was doing that with, I was listening to it again, and I heard this weird, and I think it is her. It just sounds so strange.
You're talking, and then this voice says, oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But they say it kind of in a weird
and
way.
It sounds
But
kind of like
I thought
man.
It was her, but I thought it was the person you were talking to. But just like, you know how you might say something, but your voice just was a little frog in it right there or something.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's it. Here, so this is her regular voice.
Okay.
And it's that same voice that we just heard, you know? So, you know, he has everybody looking out for.
So she's talking about this ghost there and that she's heard his voice several times. They've got it on EVPs. So that's what makes it kind of creepy because she's talking mm-hmm. about this.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of cool, but I don't
so
fear
I'm
him
gonna
because
skip ahead.
I know.
You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so.
Oh, yeah.
And I think you're right. I think it might be her just with a frog in her throat.
Yeah. Yeah, where you get that little bit of, you know, when you go to say something and your voice comes out a little bit different, a little bit funny or something.
But
maybe
it's
just
weird
got a little congestion or something.
It just sounded like a man. I'll play it one more time. So,
oh, yeah.
So it's just weird. It sounded like.
Now, had he said, you know, something like from Reagan and The Exorcist at that moment, I might have, you know, gone, yeah, most definitely. But it's, but when what they said was appropriate for her going, oh, yeah, in the conversation.
Oh, yeah, agreed. I said that on purpose. But what I thought was weird is we're talking about this man and this voice, and then all of a sudden her voice sounds like a man's voice, which was kind of strange. But
it was.
It's weird because
I'm going to go with her on that one.
It's just weird because that stuff happens all the time. I hear these weird little sounds.
But somebody heard voices at the end of one of our shows the other day.
Mm-hmm. So I got to pull that back up and give it a listen.
Okay. Yeah.
But it's always weird when I'm just editing something and I hear something like that. Oh, yeah. That's really deep and that sounded more like a man. And we were just talking about this man. And it's a man who has kind of attached himself to her.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he was in the prison. He was, I think, executed. I'm pretty darn sure he was executed there. So that's what we were talking about. And then to hear this man, her voice.
Okay, maybe I changed my mind now. I didn't know all the, like, attachment stuff going on there. Oh.
Yeah, and so you know that guy Chip Coffey? He's a psychic. He's done tons of shows.
Mm-hmm.
He was at the prison. And he's like, there is this spirit that follows you everywhere.
And, oh, wow.
And she's had like three different psychics tell her the exact same thing.
Oh, my.
In that they believe they were together in a former life and all this. I'm like, oh, that's so crazy. Which could be why you're drawn to a place, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes I think, you know, like she's very attached to the prison. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I think you are drawn to a place and you don't know why. Like, could it be a past life sort of thing? Or you're drawn to a person? You know, we've all met that mm-hmm. person where we're just... My best friend, James. The day I mm-hmm. met him, I knew he was going to be my best friend. Mm-hmm. And he's my best friend. He's mm-hmm. one of your best friends. He's like a brother to my entire family. You know, everybody loves him. But it's just weird when you meet somebody or you go to a place and you have that feeling like, I've been here.
Yeah.
Like, or I belong here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that kind of makes me think about the lead into this, the show today, when you said, you know, they went to one, they lived in a haunted house, then they moved to a haunted house, and then they moved to another haunted house. Now, there does appear to be a common denominator here.
The person.
Yeah. And maybe they will say it's not that. But I almost wonder in this case, even not knowing the story yet, if it is the person.
I agree. I think a lot of times that happens.
Because we talk about me in that instance.
I don't know that
right?
you've ever lived in a house that didn't have activity.
I can't remember ever living in a place that didn't, you know. And so I think some maybe more so than others, but you know, maybe most places do have activity. It's just a person that can sense it. And then, you know, so this person moves from place to place, but they're able to, you know, sense these things where other people aren't. Or do you have something attached to you that you're taking
right.
with you? I think we'll find out in this story, though. I think we'll find out when you read this story.
Yeah, because I think in Susan's case with the Nevada State Prison, mm-hmm. I do think she has some things that follow her.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of think this guy might be one of them. So it's just weird that we're talking about this man that follows her and that they picked up the EVPs. Then her voice changes like that. Comes out like
that is okay. That well, I you know, at first I was like totally no, she's got a frog in her throat. Now that you told me the story, I'm like, okay, well, maybe not.
Could go either way. So, here's the first story today. It says, the house I grew up in was very haunted. No matter what room you were in, you never felt alone. We lived in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house in Garland, Texas. I lived in that house from when I was 4 to age 10. The house had 2 garages. One was attached to the house and used to be a carport. The other was detached and stood at the back left corner of our backyard. My parents used the attached one for tools and storage and the back one for recreation. The front door opened into the living room and straight back was the kitchen. On the back left side was a hallway that led straight back to my bedroom. My parents' room was on the left side of the hallway across from the bathroom, which was on the right side of the hallway. This may help you better picture where things happened. Our closets had wood sliding doors and all the shades in the house were pulled down from a roller and were solid white. I would make sure my closet doors were closed every night, and almost every night the right side would open. It would wake me up some nights and I could see a gray man standing in my closet. He looked gray, like from an old black and white movie, and I couldn't distinguish any features. He never moved or said anything. He would just stand there. I wasn't scared of him. I felt threatened by him. Most nights, I would roll over and go back to sleep. How?
Wow.
How could you do that? I'm like, there's a gray man standing there. I don't get even how you wouldn't be scared of him, but I do not know how you could roll over and go back to sleep. I had 2 windows in my bedroom. One looked out at the backyard, the other at the side yard against the neighbor's house. They had no windows on this side of their house, and I was terrified to open the shade of the window that looked out on the side yard. I would never open it, even for light during the day. Sometimes at night, I could hear someone walking the length of our house in the backyard, and if there was moonlight, a shadow would pass across the shade as they walked by. I once got up the courage to look out the side of the shade, but I couldn't see anyone as it passed by again. I remember one night climbing down from the top bunk and stepping on something warm and squishy like flesh, but it was gross kind of squishy. I think flesh would be pretty gross squishy.
Any squishy. I'm not good with squishy.
I felt my fingers close around my foot, and I jumped and screamed simultaneously. I turned the light on, but there was nothing there. There was no one sleeping on the bottom bunk at this time. I told my mother about this several days ago, and she said she had the same experience one night in the doorway where the kitchen met the living room. We had a window that looked out into the garage attached to the house since it used to be a carport. Since there was no light to come in there, my mom always kept the shade over it closed. I remember sitting at the table and sitting as far from that window as possible because you could feel something very evil on the other side. These were the only windows in the house I had a problem with. One night I woke up to the feeling of someone staring at me, and I looked towards my door. My mom was just standing there looking at me, and she turned around and walked down the hall. I thought, well, that was weird. So I got up to see what was wrong. I looked around my dresser down the hall and asked Mom, and whatever it was, turned around and disappeared at the same time, smiling at me. One night around dawn, I woke up to the feeling again that someone was staring at me. I was lying on my side facing the wall, and I heard a deep male voice say, "Don't turn around or I'll scare you to death." Needless to say, I did not turn around. I felt fingers.
Okay.
Listen to this. I felt fingers go around my throat, but I was too scared to scream or move. Luckily, they didn't tighten their grip, but were slowly removed. I felt them slide along my neck. I lay like that till my mom came to wake me up for school, when I started crying and I told her what had happened. She could clearly see finger marks on my neck and woke my dad up. They searched the whole house, but all of the doors and windows were still locked from the inside. No one but us was there. My mom concluded that I had scratched myself in my sleep, but I was wide awake and I knew what I heard and felt. Now, I will interject there that that is also what sleep paralysis feels like. And like, it feels that real. And I have woken up scratched before, and I wonder if in that state, like, you don't think you're moving, but you are.
Well, and maybe,
and you're scratching yourself.
Well, or you're trying, you feel the fingers, right? And so you're trying to pull them off. And while you're trying to pull it off, you're scratching yourself.
Yeah, it could be.
You know.
Not sure. That's just one theory.
It's a theory, yeah.
The back garage had an attic above it that can only be reached through a small hole in the ceiling. There were no stairs, so my dad always had to use a ladder to put anything up there. Neither of my parents liked going up there, but I didn't know that until recently. One day, my best friend and I were out playing with a big puppet house my dad was making for church. We were sitting behind it playing with our Barbies when the big springs that held up the garage door started creaking. They started groaning louder to the point that we thought the whole place was coming down. We peeked through the window of the puppet house and saw the ceiling start to bow down just above the spring closest to us. Where most of the weight seemed to be, we could see a man's high-top black boot, only one. We hightailed it out of there as fast as we could, and we never played in there again. It goes without saying.
Mm-hmm.
Years later, as a teenager, my stepdad owned his own mechanic shop. He built an apartment inside the shop above and beside the office. My room was above the office, and I shared it with my 4-year-old brother. My parents' room was next to the office, and the bathroom was on the other side of the office. Sometimes my parents would ask me to babysit, and they'd go out dancing. They'd make sure I locked the door to the shop before they left, and my dad would have already locked all the bay doors so no one could get in. Almost every time they went out and left us alone, I would hear very clear, very loud footsteps walking across the shop toward the stairs that led up to our bedroom. My walls didn't meet the top of the shop, so if I stood on my bed, I could see the entire shop. Oh, that's weird. Like, That's just kind of strange. You'd think that the walls would go all the way up. My dad usually left a few lights turned down low so they could see when they got back, but they were plenty bright enough to see everything in the shop. The footsteps always came up to the stairs and stopped at the landing just outside our bedroom. I could see the landing clearly as I had no bedroom door. No one ever came up here, so no worries. Never saw anyone walking. I only ever heard footsteps. I would stand on my bed trying to see who it was, but there was never anything there. Not too long after that, we moved to a house in Plano, Texas, where the attic was haunted. The only entrance was through a hole in the garage ceiling. My stepdad never liked going up there and once said he saw a black form crawling towards him.
Oh, no.
Oh, no is right. If I saw a black form, I don't think, oh, no.
I would. You know me. That's me. I'm like,
Kathy'd be like, oh, darn it.
Oh, no. I would be. I'd be like, you guys.
You guys, go, darn it.
God.
Guys, stop. Stop, guys. Me, I'd be screaming all the profanities you can imagine. Sometimes I could hear scratching noises on the ceiling of my room, and at other times, I could hear a woman's voice calling my name in the middle of the night from somewhere inside my room. If my friend stayed the night, they could hear it too. One night, my best friend and I were home alone, and we heard what I can only describe as sounding like Dixieland kind of music, blaring through the house. We ran outside to the back porch, and as soon as we shut the sliding glass door, we couldn't hear it anymore. But if we opened it, we could hear it again. The glass was really thin, and we should have been able to hear it through the glass, but we couldn't. When we first moved in, a little cross made from strips of bamboo was stapled to the back of the bedroom door I chose. I never told anyone about it and threw it away. After we moved, I told my mom about it, and she said I should have left it there. I swear every bit of this story is true. I even have witnesses to some of the events. As I get older, I don't see as much as often.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
As I get older, I don't see as much as
often. Not seeing as...
Oh. Mm-hmm. I don't see as much as often, but must right. still see some things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it has anything to do with being older or where I live isn't really all that haunted. What do you think? I'm not sure who wrote that in, but thank you for this story. I don't know. What do you think?
So much. Okay. So many things to unpack here, really. I mean, we have different voices. We have women's voices. There's men's voices. It started with the creepy closet, with the gray figure in the closet, which I thought was a very scary story. And then the figure that seemed to be running outside of the house and the windows. You know, windows can be super frightening. And
oh, yeah.
To look out a window at night, if you hear something. I don't know, for me, if windows are as frightening for paranormal reasons as they are for real life creepy people reasons. But, you know, either way, it's frightening. But apparently there was, like, one time looked out, got the nerve up, looked out, heard something but didn't see anything, right? Heard the footsteps, but nothing was there. And then, you know, there was the possible sleep paralysis story thing going on, or the squishy where you stood
flesh
on something.
Thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mom also said, yeah, to that one. They had the creepy attic.
Two creepy attics.
Two creepy attics, and the one with the figure coming towards them. Ooh, that was okay.
God darn it.
Gosh darn it. Right. but and so there's like so much here. And my point in all of this is that to me, there doesn't, I'm not sensing, and this is just me, that it seems to be tied to a house. What do you think?
You think each one of those was tied to the house they were in?
I think it was tied to the people they were.
I'm kind of with you on the people because the the similarities between all three places.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's what I'm thinking too. And like, you know, usually when something's tied to a house, there's house things, right? Maybe it's the electrical kind of going off and on, or, you know, cupboards open and shut, or doors, or you might see a woman in the kitchen, or, you know, that things that are planted in the house. People walking up the stairs, or, you know, like that. This doesn't feel like that.
Yeah.
This feels more tied to the family.
That's, you know, because it's just one of those things. It was like, there's a haunted house, then they move to another haunted mechanics garage where the ceilings don't even go all the way up. It just seems like you would have a lot of exhaust and smell from, not like there's cars running, but there would be. They got to turn them on and off. And I don't know. It just seems like you'd want some walls.
You know, I just feel like maybe, you know, she's very sensitive to whatever. And gosh, this is so much stuff. I don't know. Almost anybody, whether you're sensitive or not, would have to acknowledge some of this stuff. You know what I mean? Like, it's so blatant.
Now,
but
do you think, because the question at the end, as I get older, I don't see as much as often. Sounds like they are still having some experiences. I don't know if it has anything to do with me being older or where I live isn't really that haunted. I think it could be both. I think that, you know, maybe as you get older, you might not have the same experiences. Although, I think frequently when you have experiences like that as a child, you kind of continue.
Oh, well, I think not you everybody. Do. Okay, I think, like, I would say in my case, I think I have less than I used to when I was young. Mm-hmm. I still have some. Still things happen, right? But with that said, I think that I've, through the years, as I mature, I learn how to build up walls and protect myself.
That's what I was going to say. I think that we have a better ability, not just with the paranormal, but with life in general.
Exactly.
To be like, absolutely not. I'm not letting this toxicity into my life. You get rid of the friends that aren't bringing anything worthwhile. You know, it's like sometimes you just got to clean up in your life.
And like, you know, the other night I heard a voice real loud. And I can't even tell you what it said. I just heard it and it woke me up. And it sounded like it was in the house. But then my mind immediately goes to, well, it was this, or it was probably that, or maybe it was, you know, like some kid outside or something. Maybe it was, you know, like, and I listed these things and these possibilities, and I convinced myself it was something, and I went back to sleep. I think when I was a child, I would have not done
that. Yeah, agreed.
You know, I would have maybe seen it for what it was, and it could have totally been something creepy. It could have been any of the things I had convinced myself of. You know, but I think as we get older, we go, there's all these other possibilities, because we begin to know there's more possibilities in the world for things, right? You know, we go, oh, well, you know, that could have gone out because the electricity went, you know, surged or something. You know, I mean, we can start to come up with explanations. This seems like a lot of stuff.
And I think if she or he, not sure, was living in a haunted house, I definitely think that they would know.
You know, I don't think it was the house in these instances. I think there was something surrounding the people.
Yeah. I'm with you.
You know, and maybe it's moved on now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, too. That could be the other explanation for why it's not happening so much now. That it's gone, you know.
But I think if she was at the right place, she would be picking up on stuff, because I think she knows. Mm-hmm. I think that veil is thin for her on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another story, and it says, I would first like to say I have had countless experiences all of my life, even before I can remember. My mom always tells me of how I told her I saw a man with black shoes in the house when no one was there. This story happened to me for many years, starting at the age of 6. I was always the kind of kid that believed in monsters that lived in the closet, and they came out from midnight to 3 a.m., no later than 5 a.m. Well, this one night around 3:33 a.m., I like that because it's so specific, around 3:33 a.m., I woke up and there was no reason why. But then I realized I had heard what sounded like footsteps on our carpet, walking by the foot of my bed to the side, then back, and so on. I was frozen still, but tried to think logically. We do have a cat, so I thought maybe he had somehow got in. I gathered the courage to sit up and look towards the sound, but I saw absolutely nothing. And this sound continued. I froze still again and laid back down. Somehow I managed to fall asleep. When I woke back up around 7:30, it was gone. I quickly ran out of my room without looking behind me and watched cartoons to get it off of my mind. But that isn't the end. 2 months later, I woke up at 3:32 a.m. and I heard that noise. Knowing it wasn't my cat and no one was in the room but me made it so much more scary. Then I noticed my closet was cracked open. I always shut it before bed because, as I stated earlier, I always thought monsters lived there. It made it all the harder to fall asleep knowing it was open, and every time I looked in, I swore I could see something moving, trying to look at me. Somehow, I fell asleep, but I stayed in bed until my parents came to get me so I wouldn't be alone. This continued for many years, but slowed and for quite a while stopped when I was 9. Then, when I was 10 or 11, the same sound happened. Now, it was 5:32 a.m., but I was so used to it by now that it was easy to fall asleep to. Just a week later, around that exact same time, I woke up startled from hearing a scream. It wasn't like a human scream, though. It sounded like nothing I'd ever heard before. At first, I thought I was still waking up and it was part of a terrible dream, but I quickly realized, even now that I was fully awake, I still heard it, and the noise was coming from under my bed. I wasn't ever more scared than in that moment. I thought I could hear heavy breathing from under my bed, but I didn't dare move. I didn't even twitch a finger. The tiredness eventually fell over me, and somehow again I fell back to sleep. Trying to be brave, when I woke back up around 8 or 9, I walked to the door to go downstairs and get breakfast. I made the stupidest mistake of looking back. At first, it looked normal. Then I heard a small noise, almost like a scratch or a very quiet screech. Then I saw what looked like some dark, bony hand move from under the bed. I quickly opened the door and slammed it shut and ran down the hallway as fast as I could. The story ends there.
Oh my gosh.
That's it.
You can't end there.
Dove.
What's the rest of this? Who did?
Dove. Well,
oh my god.
There's way too many questions for this one. You know, we could have theories, but you don't end right there.
You have to tell us, like, if the hand, like if you saw it again.
Like, are you 25 years old now and life is good? You got kids, like, and everything's okay? Or does this bony hand still follow you wherever you go?
Or did anyone else in the house have these issues? I could totally relate to the cartoons thing, though.
Yeah.
Like, I used to do that, too. I'd go flip on the TV to watch something like, you know, cartoons, so I wouldn't feel so scared. So I completely get that. But you're right. There's so much. I just have so many questions as far as, like, you know, since this all occurred, my question is, like, has anything happened since?
Right.
Do you still have these things occur, or did it just kind of quit? Did you move from that house? Have you ever talked to your parents about this, or sisters or brothers or anybody else? There is the mention of the cat, but did they mention, was the cat weirded out? I don't recall that. Because oftentimes the pets will also give us a little bit of an indication, too.
Mm-hmm. But it sounds like the cat was never really there. She thought it was the cat and then didn't see the cat.
And I get the closet stuff. Like, there is something just absolutely creepy about a closet at night. And I understand that. And I think we can talk ourselves into monsters in a closet, just like she said. You know, I always believed from here to here there were monsters in the closets, you know, and you just do as a kid. You do that. But with that said, it is creepy when you look up and your closet door is open or a little bit open and you know you closed it.
I would think it would be pretty creepy to see a bony hand.
Well, yeah, I mean there is that. Bed. Yeah, that would be the culmination of the whole thing. But I really need to know, and let us know, follow up on this. Like, has anything else happened to you after this? And like, how have you, you know, come to terms with this? Like, especially so like seeing strange. A hand and stuff. Has that kind of stopped? Did you move? You know, yeah. Have things changed for you?
Because really, the bony hand should be the middle of the story. Or at least there should be some conclusion. You know, the beginning, middle, end, you know, when you're telling a story.
We got to the cliffhanger part. And I get it, though, because we all want a bow on these stories that we can say, oh, yeah. And now it isn't that way, right? I mean, there is most of the time no good, you know, explanation. You don't get to find out the, you know, what was really behind it or whatever.
Yeah, there could have been a little bow. Didn't have to be a big bow, but I'd have taken a little
here
bow.
But here I would like to know, like, from this that point on, like, what's happened to you? Has it just kind of dissipated, or has this kind of stuff continued, or you know, I would like to know more.
Bony fingers, bony fingers.
So that just made me think of that song, Bony Fingers.
Bony Fingers by
Hoyt Axton. And whoever that woman is that was singing with him, and I don't really love her voice, but bony, you know. Bony fingers.
I'd forgotten. Yes, I had definitely forgotten about that song. So that's
going out to Dove today.
But I would like more information, Dove.
I would too. So, Dove, please write back in with a follow-up to that story. You can call it in anytime. 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want an ad-free version of the show along with advanced episodes and access to the archive, become a premium subscriber through Apple Podcasts where you can try it for 3 days free, or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. For all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.